Aren't you glad this morning that love lifted us? Praise God. Are you glad this morning love lifted us? The love of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. God bless everyone. We give everyone a warm welcome in their service. We know this is Halloween time. I call it not Halloween, but Halloween. And it's pagan. There's a fella jumped out through a hedge with me the other day. I was coming along the road. And I thought I was seeing things. He was only a wee young fella too. And I had to look twice, and then I wagged at him. And I don't know what sort of an outfit he had on. And everybody has to go out and get stoned on Halloween, full. I noticed this morning, I said to the wife when I was coming in this morning, as we travelled in this morning, I said, do you notice how quiet the roads are? All the devils are sleeping off the hangovers this morning. They've all sore heads. They're lying in bed because of Halloween. Praise God for the cross. Amen. It's not Halloween we need, it's Jesus we need. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And if you're going to have Halloween, you have to have the pumpkin. And if you have the pumpkin, then you know what else you need? Pumpkin soup. How many have ever had pumpkin soup? Pumpkin soup's good, you know. There's nothing wrong with it. Pumpkin soup. Praise God. But the Lord bless you, you know. And I was thinking this morning, I'm not sure if it was Edward's mom or Lynn's mom. I can't remember. But does anyone remember that when we did the meeting in Refrieland, we did a couple of nights in Refrieland, and there's a wee woman, she had a broken arm or leg. And after the service, I was called to go to the house to see her. I think it was maybe Edward's mum. But she came to the Lord anyhow. Yeah. I led her to the Lord in the kitchen after that service. And I'm not sure if it was Edward's mum or Lynn's mum. She lived in Refrieland there. And that's when we did the meetings in Refrieland. And then there's another man related to us that came to the meetings as well. And he's related to ourselves, Albert McKinstry. And a few nights after that, I went to go and see Albert, and I got talking with his wife. His wife's a saved woman, you know. She listens in a lot on the meetings and things. And I got talking to her, and maybe she said some things that she wasn't happy with, but the Lord saves you, you're saved.
Amen.
Spurgeon smoked, you know. He smoked. And he was a preacher. And I'm telling you, that's a fact. And not only did Spurgeon smoke, there's a fella came from America and preached in his pulpit, and he preached against smoking. And he preached a whole sermon against smoking, and Spurgeon got up at the end of the sermon. And he said, I'm going home to enjoy whatever sort of tobacco it was, a big cigar. He undone all your man preached. But the next day, Spurgeon was going down through the street, and there was a big poster with him on it. And that's tobacco. And God said to him, you're an advert for the devil, Spurgeon. And that finished the smoking. Now, whether he smoked after it privately, I can't tell you that. That's between him and God. But he didn't publicly do it anymore anyhow. Because the God told him he's an advert for the devil. A fella asked me one time years ago, he said, Tom, you know the Bible and you do a bit of preaching. He said, well, smoking send you to hell. I says, I don't know, but you'll smell like you've been there. It's a dirty habit. It's a real dirty habit. I tell you, smoking is a dirty habit. My father smoked for years. You know that. Most of you know that. But the Lord delivered him from it. Praise God. Let's pray for the Neely family. And I'm not sure if that was Edward's mom or Lynn's mom. I don't know. But she came to the Lord anyhow. In the wee house down there. She wanted to come for prayer in the service, but she's a bit nervous to come up. And she prayed the sinner's prayer back there. I want to speak to you this morning of the blood that speaks for you. And I really felt this morning some people need encouragement. And we had good meetings last week, but I've always found when you have a good meeting, the devil he was put in the one following. That's the way he works. And he'll give you all he can give you. He doesn't want you to have any good meetings. He wants you to have a bad meeting. And he wants you to have a bad week. That's when you need to turn the screws on him.
Amen.
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 Who's ready for a new beginning? Put your hand up. A new beginning. You'd say, brother, it was a scripture for that. Absolutely, it is. God will bring you into a new season.
Amen.
A new beginning. Morris Rella went to a conference one time and he prophesied three things over them. One of them was a new beginning. He said, God's bringing you into a new beginning. I believe that this morning. God can bring you into a new beginning. God can change things for you. Amen. Whether it's financial, spiritual, physical, God can do it because He's God. Let's read the Word of God this morning from Genesis chapter 4. And then I'm going to let you be seated. Genesis chapter 4. And there's so many avenues I could go with this morning. I don't want to be long this morning. And don't forget tonight, our brother David McConville will be preaching tonight. And it's quite a time from David preached for us. He did preach for us when we had the old schoolhouse. That's quite a long time ago. And so David will be preaching tonight. Come along. And I know it's hard to get people to come to church. And just pray for the services. Praise God. Next Sunday morning, our brother Larry's going to be preaching. So pray for brother Larry as well for next Sunday morning. Verse 8 of Genesis chapter 4. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. He was a liar. That's the truth. He knew where he was. He killed him. He told God a lie. Now imagine, I could tell you a lie and you could tell me a lie, but imagine trying to tell God a lie. Think of that for a moment. God knowing everything. Every single thing about us. Yet God never wiped Cain out. And he put a mark on him and nobody else could kill him. And people, you know, people, when people see things, people doing evil things today, I'd kill him. He deserves to die. I'd cut his throat. But God never killed Cain. He killed Abel, his brother, and then he tells a bare-faced lie to God. I tell you, this is striking, isn't it? And the Lord said unto Cain, where is thy brother Abel? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? Verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Let's bow our heads this morning, praise God. If you have a need, just lift your hand up to the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, Abel's blood cried from the ground and you heard it and you answered it. And we know how much more speaketh better things the blood of Jesus Christ than the blood of Abel's. Your blood speaks for us today. Amen. The first moment we called upon your name, you washed us and cleansed us in your precious blood, and the devil's defeated. Yes. We thank you for the power of the blood.
Amen.
We thank you that your blood shall never lose its power.
Amen.
And we ask you'll wash us afresh, everyone, in the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
And we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong deed. We cast down all reasoning and vain imagination. And we say, let the mind that was in Christ be in us. Wash us. Sanctify us. Cleanse us. With the washing of the water of the word and the blood.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Lord, I ask for the life of the blood.
Amen.
To quicken our mortal bodies this day, the Holy Ghost. Quicken us by the Holy Spirit, I pray. Lord, I pray for every hand raised in this room. Father, that you'll meet every single need. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for Brother Edward and Sister Lynn for your strength, for your comfort, and for your blessing upon all the family and your great comfort in the name of the Lord Jesus. I do take the Holy Ghost now to help me. And I thank you that you do. And I give you the praise for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to say from the very start of this service this morning, as soon as you called on the name of the Lord for salvation, the blood went to work. Immediately, the blood went to work. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin and from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your life. And when the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your life, you're clean and you're pure by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your own thinking could tell you different, but your own thinking's contrary to the Word of God. The Bible says, "Thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more." They're moved away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, so has God removed our iniquities because of the power of the blood.
Amen.
The blood is powerful this morning. It cleansed you from sin from the moment you believed. And not only did it cleanse you from sin, but it's played an active role in your life ever since you believed. It's played an active role in your life. Now, does the blood still speak? Absolutely. Does it still speak? Abel's blood spoke to God. And God heard it. And God answered it. Hebrews 12:24. "Unto Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and through the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel's." Abel's blood could speak to God, and God could hear the voice of Abel's blood. How much more does the blood of Jesus Christ speak to God, and God doth hear the voice of the blood of Jesus Christ? For Jesus Christ's blood has a voice. It's a clear voice. It's a loud voice. It's a wonderful, beautiful voice. The voice of the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what it says? It says to the devil, "She's mine. She's no longer yours. He's mine. He's no longer yours." You are marked this morning with the blood of Jesus Christ. You're marked with the mark of God. It's the mark of the blood. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. With the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you are bought. You're redeemed. Bought back.
Amen.
You're the Lord's. The devil's no iron on you.
Amen.
He's nothing on you. The Lord owns you. You're the Lord's property. You're the Lord's possession. God so loved the world, He gave His only unique special begotten Son. As begotten means that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not His one Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. It's God's will to save. How many will the Lord save? It's not God's will that any should perish. God saves and He wants to save. And His blood speaks for you. The devil's defeated. You don't have to go out and search for it. It's yours. You're marked this morning. You know, in the Old Testament, they marked the right ear. The thumb, the ear was marked with a blood mark. And they could see the blood mark on the ear. And they knew by the mark. And God said to Israel, when the death angel went over, when I see the blood,
amen,
I will pass over you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the blood.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ is a voice that speaks. God Himself established this fact in the Bible. This is a fact that God established. Man never established this fact. God established the fact that the blood speaks. This is a fact of God. You know, many years ago, I got a wee tract of Ian Paisley's, and it was about 10 things about the blood. And from that wee tract, I prepared a sermon. And I preached it in Africa. The second time I went there, and they baptized 100 people after one convention in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit spoke through the gifts in that service, because there was a big debate. What was the message? And round the message churches, and you people know what I'm talking about. One believes this, one believes that, one believes something else. And they're really preaching a man. They're not preaching Jesus.
Amen.
That's the truth of it. Let's be honest about it. And the Holy Spirit spoke in that service, and the Holy Spirit said, this is the real message you're hearing today. The Spirit of God moved. And that's the same service where there was a man there that they claimed to be a great man. And after I preached that sermon, he done his best to put them back into bondage. He had a confession line. He thought he was the Pope of Rome. And the people lined up to confess their sins to them. And I challenged those pastors on it. And I told them to get me the Bible for it and said, confess your faults one another. I said, you've took it totally out of context. That's nothing to do with your sins. You cannot hear the sins of another man because you're as guilty as the other man, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's one man who knew no sin, who did no sin. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He can hear your confession. He is the only high priest that can hear your confession. And I tell you, that boy brought them back into bondage. He done his best. And there's a devil manifested on an old lady outside. And they call this man an apostle, and all these great fellas have great big titles, brother. They were apostles and prophets and all sorts of stuff. But they couldn't cast that devil out. It wouldn't leave. And they called for me to come off the platform, and I said, why can them fellas not cast it out? You's a man, you's told me these are apostles. The apostles I read about in the book of Acts have no problem casting devils out. And I tell you, when I went round to see that woman, and I went humble, I'll be honest with you, the same presence that came to me in that jail met me on the corner. That's all I can tell you. And God took over. And God delivered that woman. And the devil spoke out of her. And they said, we've been here since she's a young woman and we're not going out. And I said, you're going out, and you're going out right now. And you're not coming back. And furthermore than that, they told me where they were from. I said, I'm coming down over there too. I'll start a riot over there. There's more you need cast out down there too. And God delivered her. And from one woman been delivered, there's a church there today because of one woman that was delivered, a church started. And that's the truth. The power of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I tell you, you don't need to confess to some pope head. You need to confess to Jesus.
Amen.
Do you realize people are confessing to man, and that man they're confessing to could be 10 times dirtier and filthier than the man that's confessing to them. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Not a one. There's only the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us meet the Lord. Thank God for the blood. Sister, the devil's no holding you. The blood has spoke for you. The blood has spoke for you. The blood says you're clean. The blood says you're pure. The blood says you're washed. The sins of your youth are gone, and they're washed away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. No facing. You can't go back in and bring it up. The Lord's done away with it. You'll never be judged in your sins of your past. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. Romans 8:1 says, there's now no condemnation, judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus, because you're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you, that's why we need preaching on the blood, brothers.
Hallelujah.
Don't give me a gospel that's bloodless. You're giving me a gospel that's anemic. And this gospel is not anemic, but it's powerful. There's a life in it, and the life is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11 tells us that. That's the life of the Holy Ghost that quickens us. It's the life of the blood. Jesus said of the same Spirit, Paul said about the Lord, of the same Spirit in Romans, that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you. It will quicken, make alive your mortal body. Every one of us were dead. Ephesians said we were dead in trespasses and sins, but you have he quickened who were dead. And you're now alive because of the life of the blood. Your blood wouldn't do it. Your blood wouldn't do it. Your blood and my blood was corrupted. It was corrupted because of original sin. It was corrupted. We were born in sin. We were shaped in iniquity. But I believe in immaculate conception. I believe that the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary. And I believe she was still a virgin after Jesus was born. I believe it was a supernatural act of Almighty God. And Jesus Christ came to save us. And he had no sin. Death had no claim on him. Are you hearing me this morning? Death had a claim in every single man and every single woman. And the reason death had a claim in every single man and every single woman is because they were sinners by nature and sinners by birth. But death had no claim on Jesus because he knew no sin and he had no sin. But he willingly stepped into death. He took your sin and he took my sin. And with your sin and my sin upon him, he died on the cross. God. No longer to be remembered against us, no more. He carried them away. I thank God for salvation this morning. The blood of Jesus Christ on the cross cried out. You know, Abel's blood cried from the thorns, it cried for vengeance, and it cried for justice. But the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, the thorns are the place of the curse, and the blood cried from the curse. And Jesus on the cross, the blood streamed down through the thorns on his brow, and the blood cried out from the thorns on Calvary. One of the greatest signs in all the Bible. It's finished. That's one of them. It's finished. Completed. The work's done. God was appeased. He was satisfied with a sacrifice. There's no other sacrifice. Only this one. Once and for all. Offered up. And he through the eternal spirit. Can you hear that? No priest can say that. Only Christ. Through the eternal spirit. Offered himself. Once and for all. Hallelujah. What a mighty Savior. Oh, not only did he die, but he rose again. Death cannot keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior. The stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. It was rolled away to let them in.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He rose from the dead.
Hallelujah.
He rose because he loved you, sister. He loved your brother. And he still loves you. The love he had for you in the beginning is still the same. It's unchanging. The depth, the height, nothing can change God's love. God loves you. God loves you. There's nothing that'll lift you like that, is there? When somebody tells you, I love you. I love you. You know, years ago, people didn't do that. They never took you in their arms and said, son, I love you. Never would have done it. That was too old-fashioned to have talked about. But I'll tell you, you should never be fit, afraid, to take your wee son or your wee daughter in your arms and say, son or daughter, I love you.
Great.
Your husband and your wife will love you.
Amen.
That's a natural love, but I want you to think of God's love.
Amen. Great.
God's love brought Christ from heaven.
Amen.
The whole way from heaven. From heaven he came to the earth's domain because he loved you. He set his face as a flint to go up to Jerusalem. They tried to stop him, but he went up the whole way to Calvary.
Hallelujah.
He went to the cross. There he suffered and died in your room and in my room. He suffered and died on the cross. I tell you, his blood cried from the thorns for mercy. It cried for mercy, not for justice, for mercy. And it said, he said, it's finished. Do you know when there was 3 hours of darkness on the cross? The Lord gave me a message. passage on it years ago. 3 hours of darkness. The whole creation, everything stopped. Darkness was everywhere over the face of the deep. Exodus talks about a darkness because they felt. Darkness is a sign of death. And when darkness came in Exodus, the death angel was going to come through. And on the cross, there was 3 hours of darkness. And the rocks rang and the earth shook. But as soon as Jesus said, "It's finished," the darkness stopped.
Hallelujah.
And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Oh, I can see the wee priest in all his garments. I can see him in the tabernacle just now. With a white mitre on his head. With his robes of blue and scarlet and purple. And then the wee bib over him and the stones hanging over the front. And the pomegranates on the ends of his garments and the bells. And the sash on him. And the golden altar of incense burning in his hand. I can see him. And as he comes up to the veil, it rends before him. God rent the veil in two.
Amen.
At Calvary.
Amen.
From the top to the bottom.
Amen.
He rent it. Showing that the work of the earthly priest is finished.
Amen.
We have a heavenly one this morning.
Amen.
A heavenly priest. Jesus' blood no longer speaks from the cross. Hear me this morning. Lord, give me this morning. No longer speaks from the cross, but it speaks the whole way from heaven. For he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. He's seated on the right hand. That means all powerful. Seated. When you sit down, you finish the work. He's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. His blood's talking from heaven. You see, when the Holy Ghost moves, that's the blood speaking. The life of that blood's the Holy Ghost. And many knows that. When the blood shed broke on the cross, the life of God was released to the church. The life of God's the Holy Spirit. That's God's life coming in you. Moving you. Making you born again. Filling you. Filling you. Hallelujah. Life of God stimulating you. Glory to God. God's life in you. Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood's no remission. Listen to this carefully. This is the scripture. How I know the blood's in heaven. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. This is the ultimate sacrifice. You know, I feel sorry for my Catholic neighbors. I've been honest this morning. I could cry when I think of it. There's a priest on a platform with a wee collar on him. And a black nightshirt. And he's at the front and he takes a wafer. And he believes. It's called the act of transubstantiation. He is re-offering Christ. The Pope has invested within that priest's power that he can re-offer the Lord Jesus. And he turns the wafer into the literal physical body of Christ. And you have to hold your hands under your tongue like in case the drop of it would fall. And a mouth would eat and live forever. No wonder Pete Paisley mocked him. Catholics believe that. It's a fable of a man. My Bible says Christ was offered up once.
Amen.
You can never re-offer him. Once and for all, he was offered. And I want to tell you this morning in this Orange Hall that any Roman Catholic that will come to the Lord, he'll save them just as fast as a Protestant. God will save them.
Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in the Lord's sight. God can see the Roman Catholic just as quick as a Protestant. And because somebody says, I'm a Protestant, doesn't take them to heaven either. Won't take them. They'll have to come under the blood.
Amen.
Under the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood. For Christ has not entered into the holy places, verse 24, made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now till appear in the presence of God for us. Fellow argued with me over this. Lots of churches that I know of and went round, they preach, we don't need the blood no more. They say we've moved past Calvary. We've moved on. They said to me, flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. I said, that's right, yours and mine can't. We were born sinners. But I said, there's one thing you forgot. Jesus was more than a man. Jesus was Isaiah 9 verse 6.
That's right.
Emmanuel.
That's right.
God with us. Hallelujah!
Amen.
His blood wasn't Jewish blood or Gentile blood. The blood flowing in his veins was the blood of God himself. It was sinless, perfect blood that flowed in him. It could enter heaven because there was no other blood like it. And I believe it did enter heaven. And I believe when he entered heaven, Abraham's bosom was emptied and the way was made for me and you to go. I tell you, Reinhard Bonnke said it, that he would plunder hell and populate heaven. Heaven's going to be populated. Did you know that? It's going to be populated. Hallelujah. You think of the vision that man had compared to people that say they're enlightened, revelated people. They're enlightened, revelated, and they don't believe in the blood. And there's a man that's just a basic Pentecostal. That's what they would call him. A denominational. But he had a vision for after he was saved. I used to have a poster of it in my bedroom. It was near the foot of the wall. Africa shall be saved. I can hear him say it. Africa shall be saved. And how he prayed Africa would be saved. Then a prophet of God called William Branham said, I can see wee black boys with straws hanging out their ears listening to my sermons in the darkest parts of Africa. That's your recorder, your iPhones and earphones and all the stuff we have today, but it wasn't in his time, but he saw it. Because Jesus said, this gospel shall go into the whole world. Then shall the end come.
Amen.
And I believe the gospel is the power of the blood.
Hallelujah.
Power of the blood. Thank God for the power of the blood. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of truth, but into heaven itself now till appear in the presence of God for us. For yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entering into the holy place each year with the blood of others. Here's another thing. Let me give you this. And it won't be long. We're going to do communion in a moment or two. Here, that's this morning, brothers and sisters. Think of me as one of them priests this morning. And a pastor is a type of a priest. Now, I'm not saying that in the way that I'm a priest, like a priest down the road. Just making a point. There's good priests. There's priests in the Bible that were good priests. How many understands that? The priest, God was saying to the priest, God was showing us here, and Paul was through this writing in verse 25. The priest in the Old Testament didn't just walk into the tabernacle. He couldn't do it, he dropped dead. He had to offer for himself first. Did you get that now? He had to offer for himself, then for the people. Then he went in. But Jesus Christ never, ever once had to offer for himself. for you and me. He never offered for himself. Now there's a false prophet over in America that preached that he had to go to hell to get born again. He's a false prophet. Jesus never needed to be born again. He was life itself. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you'd have known my Father also. He offered for the people. The sacrifice of Jesus was for you and me. For you and me. The blood of Christ is not stifled blood, but speaking blood. It's not stifled, it's speaking. You can't think of Jesus' blood as any other blood. It's unique, spice of blood. And yet, think of this, Abel's blood could speak. And it was just a man like me and you. If the blood of any ordinary man like Abel can speak to God, how much more can the blood of an everlasting covenant from Christ speak to God about you and about me today? It can speak. The blood of lambs that were sacrificed in the Old Testament showed God's mercy on the children of Israel. God had mercy on people with the blood of a lamb. Now, if God can have mercy on people with the blood of a wee lamb, how much more can God have mercy with the blood of the Lamb of God?
Hallelujah.
This was a foreshadowing of the great salvation that would come through the Messiah. Now look with me at Hebrews 9, verse 12 and 14. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Where's your 1 week salvation there? Where's your saved today and lost tomorrow? There, it's not there. This is eternal redemption.
Hallelujah.
This book means what it says here. Don't change the book.
Amen.
The book's perfect.
Glory.
Amen.
And God give us this book. Hallelujah for the book. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Oh, there's lots of good books you can read, but this book's above every book. This is God in written form. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we have the written Word of God. Men died that we can have this Bible. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of an heifer sprinkle the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience? Now think of that for a moment. Pause for a moment. Your conscience. You see, in the Old Testament, the conscience never was cleared. There was a re-offering every single year. A re-offering. But the blood of Jesus Christ not only cleanses your flesh, doesn't it say it? You say, brother, I don't know. Well, it says here that the blood of bulls and goats can cleanse the flesh. If they can cleanse your flesh, the blood of Christ can cleanse it. But it clears your conscience.
Amen.
Clears your conscience. That means whatever you have done in the past, it's gone. Your conscience is clear. The judge can bring out a big list this morning.
That's right.
But if you've said, Lord, forgive me, wash me in your blood, it's gone.
Amen. That's right.
It will never be brought out in a record book against you on any day when you meet God. It's gone.
Hallelujah.
Gone.
Glory.
Can't be brought out.
That's right.
People will bring it out, isn't there? Oh, I know him. I know her. He used to. She used to. Yes. But the Bible says you're a new creature.
Glory. Amen.
In Christ Jesus. The Bible says old things have passed away.
Glory.
Behold, all things are new.
Amen.
You're washed and you're clean.
Glory.
For the blood speaks for you. Speaks for you.
Amen.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, without spot, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We needed our conscience purged from dead works to serve the living God. Today, as you go about your daily life, the blood of Jesus Christ is speaking boldly for you. Did you realize that? It testifies to God that you belong to Him because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The blood tells the devil that you've been bought with a price and you belong to God. The blood tells the devil.
Amen.
You see, if you're getting up here to pray, if you're sitting down there praying, you need a mention of the blood.
Amen.
I'm telling you now. That's your entrance. You need to come God's provided way. You cannot come on your own works, your own program, or a ritual, or for flurry words. You need to come by the blood-stained way of Calvary. This is a bloody book. It's a bloody message. He was a bloody Savior. And His blood speaks for you. Speaks for you. Now you by faith, and me by faith, we need to take that blood by faith and put it on our children by faith.
Amen.
Just like in a type, they put it in the doorpost, they applied it onto it physically, we by faith need to put it on our children by faith. We need to put it over them in the morning, over them in the evening. When we pray, we need to pray for them. We need to put the blood on them.
Amen.
Thank God for the blood. People maybe wouldn't have been here this morning, only somebody prayed. Plead the blood over you. I know my mother, even when my dad was backslid, she used to pray over us, the blood, every single day. And there's Matthew sitting there, and Aaron's not here, but he's coming.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? He's coming.
Amen.
He's coming. But you know, when they went down to the river, when the wee lads, one wee lad was drowned, and them two came home. Somebody was pleading the blood over them.
Amen.
They come home and God had a purpose. God had a plan. Never underestimate the power of the blood. That's why the devil doesn't want it preached. That's why he has infiltrated the message movement. The charismatic movement with Jesuit priests. You've heard it.
Amen.
It's the truth. They've infiltrated it. And they go in sowing the seed of discord and discrepancy. And they'll take you away from the word till fine sayings, till revelatory revelations. So that you're held that, your head above that high and not know where you are. And then you sit somebody down and say, show me it from the Bible. Show me it. You find many times they can't do it because it's not in it. We want to have what's in this book. And I can tell you this morning that God started in Genesis and showed us that the voice of blood speaks. And God, there's a red scarlet line that runs from Genesis the whole way to Revelation. What about Rahab the harlot? She threw the thread out. Type of the blood. The scarlet thread. It's another sermon. God saw it and saved them.
Amen.
And she's counted in with those that's faith. Now think of that. A harlot. Counted in with those with faith. Because she obeyed God. And I'm going to have to come to communion service. You belong to the Lord. 1 Peter 1, verse 18, 20. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold for your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifested in these last times for you. Psalms 100, verse 3. God owns you. God owns you, brother. God owns you, sister. Isn't that wonderful? You're the Lord's. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Brother even mentioned it at the start. It's not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. The Lord loves you. You have somebody that's smarter that loves you.
That's right.
And He's seated at the right hand and His blood's talking for you. is talking for you. So many other things I could say. I could tell you about the vital principle. The blood is the life. Leviticus 17. The vicarious principle. The blood is the life given. I haven't time this morning. I want us to come to communion scripture this morning. 1 Corinthians 11:23, and you know our brother John mentioned it a few weeks ago. When we partake the bread, it's a type. We're eating that bread, it's a type of his body. But we're not physically turning this bread into his literal physical body. We don't believe that. It's a remembrance. A remembrance. How often can we do communion? You can do it every time you meet if you want. Somebody says you should do it once a month. Somebody says once a fortnight. In the Bible, as often as they met, they can do it. How many knows that's the Bible? But it's remembering the Lord. We're remembering the Lord this morning. Has your mind been refreshed about the blood? 1 Corinthians 1:23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That you come not together to condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I don't know your life. You don't know my life, personal things. But I can tell you this morning, you just pray for you are. As these things, these victuals come round and remember to the Lord, thank the Lord. If you feel you've done something amiss, ask them to forgive you. The blood lays there for you. The blood lays there for you to cleanse you. It circles the earth. The blood of Jesus circles the earth. It lays there for you. And there's power in that blood. The Lord will cleanse you. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the ultimate sacrifice. I thank you for the plan of all the ages points to Calvary. We bless you, Lord, this morning, for the work was accomplished and it was done. We thank you indeed are risen from the dead, and you ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. We bless this bread and remembers of your broken body, for you were wounded for our transgressions. And by your stripes, your wounds, we are healed. You took upon yourself the iniquity of us all. We thank you for that this morning. Bless this wine as we partake of this wine. We remember your precious blood that's able to wash us and cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Sanctify these emblems, we pray. Lord, I'm asking you this morning that you'll change situations for men and women in this room. May it be a new beginnings. May they come into a new season, a season of blessing. May we as a fellowship come into a season of revival, a season of the moving of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for what you've been doing, and we bless you for what you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Save all of our children, we pray. Cover them all with your precious blood. And any man or woman that's been named this morning, we plead the blood over them. And we ask for them and claim them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for Albert McKinstry this morning and his wife. You'll save them. I believe his wife saved. Save Albert. if he's not saved. Strengthen and comfort the Manili family. And any others that need your strength and comfort this morning in this house, strengthen, comfort. Heal the sick and the afflicted. We know the children's, the bread's the children's healing. Yeah. As we partake of this bread, may there be healing. Yeah. As we by faith partake, we ask if you will undertake. Hallelujah. Oh God, we will take. And we know that you will undertake. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Maybe my sister wants to come and the deacon's come.